I'm Carl Lamar.
The mainstream media. Because someone has to be in charge of selective outrage in this country. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
A man has ruined a weekend away with his girlfriend by saying what he was thinking. Reporter Emma Bradford is at the scene.
Martin Bishop and Eleanor Shaw had stopped at a cosy country pub after a romantic walk when Miss Shaw looked up meaningfully at Bishop and asked what he was thinking at that very moment. The weekend was about to go very wrong indeed.
I was hoping he would say, maybe this would be a great place to bring the kids one day. Or even something corny but sweet, like, I have everything I'll ever need right here.
And what did you say, Martin?
I said, pigs are much bigger than you expect. One of them was so big you could ride it.
More from us later.
Hi there. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show on a Tuesday. I've got Uncle Milty with me. I've got a caller on standby, and we are ready to rock and roll today. Wow. That, you know who was in that clip? It was a comedy clip from the BBC, but it was the guy that starred in Singles Ward. And if you go, you know, it's an LDS movie, and so a lot of people would recognize Will Swenson. Anyway, he's on Broadway now, but that was him. Anyway, makes me laugh every time I hear it. It's so true. Boy, a lot going on in Utah, and where to start? I think the best place to start is with our caller, Kristen Chevry. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm so good, and I'm so glad you're joining me. I saw this. You had sent this to me, and this was San Pete County. So we're going to start there today. San Pete County had some cases of the mumps, correct?
That's what we hear.
You know what? You know what is sad is that you have to follow it up like that. And so the big news story, even Fox News was carrying this. Tell us what happened, because the fallout is what I think is very interesting. And then I also wanted to talk about the measles case that ended up not being measles either, the big, huge one in the press, too. But let's start with this mumps case in San Pete.
So apparently, they say there are at least two mumps cases, but when we called the health department down there, they can't tell us where they're located or which school they're in or anything like that. So what they're doing is they're having the schools in North San Pete County. They're having all of the children who are not vaccinated stay home from those schools. But we don't really know if these cases are in the schools or if they're adults who are not in the schools. Or if,
we
don't really know where they are. And the reality is that we don't know whether these people were vaccinated already or whether they were recently vaccinated and maybe they got it from the vaccine. There's a boatload of sailors sitting out in the ocean that is full of hyper-vaccinated sailors who are all getting the mumps. And you can bet they're all very up to date on their MMRs, but they're still getting the mumps.
That's interesting.
So that's what's going on.
Okay.
And I don't know, I assume that you're familiar with the Utah exemption law, but I don't know if your listeners are all up to date on that.
Go ahead and explain.
So in Utah, you can get exemptions from vaccinations. You're supposed to either be vaccinated to attend school or you're supposed to have an exemption. And the current law is that you get an exemption when you start kindergarten and then you renew the exemption at seventh grade.
Okay.
And in order to do that, you do the little education module that is online, and then you can print out your exemption form after you finish it.
Okay. Which is ridiculous, so by the way. Go ahead.
So the module says that if there's an outbreak, your child will need to stay home. Well, it says during an outbreak, your child may not go to school. And I would say that there's a difference between may and shall.
Good catch. Wow.
But they probably mean shall. And it says should not leave home for any reason, should not have contact with others, will be expected to complete missed schoolwork.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the next slide, it says the amount of time that you would have to stay home from school if there's an outbreak.
Okay.
So
let me go with the obvious. If most everyone at the school is vaccinated, then they're protected from the mumps. So, right? Okay. They think that they're protected, even though people get things all the time with vaccines, correct?
Right.
So now they're segregating the unvaccinated, and which is kind of interesting, because if they're protected, then why is there a problem?
Well, see, that's the thing, though. They know they're not.
Yeah.
And they can't say that.
Right.
Because then
everybody
will quit getting the vaccine. But at Disneyland, mm-hmm. this just came out recently.
Mm-hmm.
It was known in 2015 before the SB 277 in California passed,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't release it until it was within the last year that this was released. 73 of 150 something cases of measles that came out of that mm-hmm. outbreak supposedly were the vaccine strain. They can do the genotype, and there are 19 different genotypes of measles.
Okay.
And we only vaccinate for one of those. And so there were 73 of these that were the vaccine strain.
And what does that mean? You might want to describe what that means, the vaccine strain.
So the vaccine strain is what's in the vaccine. That's what they use to vaccinate you. And the theory is that that's most of what we're going to be exposed to,
mm-hmm.
and that you should then be protected from that strain. If you get if you're exposed to the natural virus and mm-hmm. you contract measles, you will be immune to all the strains because of the way a wild virus works, as opposed to a contained laboratory virus.
Oh, that's interesting.
So the laboratory virus can only protect you against the A strain of measles.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we're talking about mumps here, but it's the same.
Right.
They're both viruses, same theory. You can only be protected against the one that you've got the vaccine for, if that works.
I see. Go
and
ahead.
In the case of mumps,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't work. And Merck is in the middle of a lawsuit for faking the efficacy data on the mumps vaccine.
Ooh. Ouch. Go ahead, Uncle Milty.
I just find it amazing that God's creation does a better job than man.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Yes. And at each age, you go through this immune system where you're all prepped and ready to go, really by God, because he built and designed us. At each stage, we actually do far better with diseases in our adulthood if we go through everything and
yep.
stop and actually create our own immunities to them, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just lifelong immunity that you get. There are other benefits that they're finding. The more research that we do,
mm-hmm.
the more we're starting to realize that getting those illnesses,
mm-hmm.
they're not diseases. There's a difference between
yeah,
a disease
sure.
and an infection or illness.
Sure.
And they always call them vaccine-preventable diseases.
But right.
a disease is something that comes and stays.
Mm-hmm.
An illness comes and goes. So one of the benefits to getting mumps as a child is that you don't have the sterility issues,
mm-hmm.
and it's a lot less virulent in
okay.
children than it is in adults.
Okay.
So
yeah.
so what we've done by vaccinating all the children against mumps is we've pushed it to further in their young adulthood, and now they're having serious reactions and things that wouldn't have happened had they just gone through it when they were younger. So you see all these college students, and there are several colleges back east that have had mumps outbreaks.
Mm-hmm.
This is why, because
yep.
they push it further back, and then they're exposed to somebody who's got the vaccine virus, and you can be an asymptomatic carrier, and so you can go around infecting people and not even know that you're sick.
Right.
So that's just, I mean, mm-hmm. those are two of the benefits. One is getting them earlier is easier on you,
mm-hmm.
and you have lifelong immunity. And then there are cancer benefits that are being found in different research, like getting different viruses as a child protects you against certain kinds of cancers.
Yes. In fact, that rerun that I did on that actually plays Monday. Because I'll be on vacation.
Oh,
it plays Monday, and I'm glad because that's a great reminder and a great wake up call for people. Go ahead.
And there's actually research that they're using that to try to find a cure for cancer.
Yes, isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Yeah. So go through these things naturally, and you build up the immunities necessary for your adulthood. Isn't that amazing how it all works? And here they're clearing all the schools in San Pete. For this? For unvaccinated people?
Not all the schools. I just read the letter that went out to the parents, and let me get it for you here. It says, there have been no reported cases in South San Pete area, therefore no students are excluded from attending school in South San Pete at this time.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But
the fact that
goes on with a bunch of recommendations like getting your MMR and that kind of thing.
But. Of course it does. I just hope people will think long and hard because I don't think people understand enough. They think that when they get the shot, they're completely protected. They're not. Like you said, it's 1 out of 19, right? Strains. For measles.
That's right.
Yeah. And so a lot of people don't realize these things. And I that's why this show, because there's a huge madness going on right now. Wall Street Journal yesterday, cases are soaring across the nation. It was 555. I mean, that's nothing.
Oh my God.
Of people that are down with like the flu for a week.
You're more likely to die from a vending machine falling on you than you are to die from measles.
Yes. And they called it soaring. And of course, it's in the news again today headlines. I'm not kidding. Every day we're getting pummeled. And so there's always a reason. There's a reason we're getting so pummeled.
There is. And the reason in Utah is that they're setting us up so that they can impose mandates on us.
Yep.
And so we need to be aware of that when we're watching this firestorm of panic that they're stirring up.
Yes.
That's the objective. And the health department has said so.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And when that case came out in Ann Arbor, they actually had to come back out. And the mainstream, I don't think, even commented on it. The Jewish News did and said no measles outbreak. It was a reaction, right?
Washington State.
Right.
Washington State what?
Washington State is now under under a state of emergency as measles cases rise to 32.
Oh my gosh.
And you know what? They say that. They give you those numbers, but those are total cases. Those are not active cases.
Yes.
So in Rockland County, when they were freaking out and saying there had been 153 cases of measles.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
They had 4 active cases.
We've got about 10 seconds. Thank you, Kristen. I really appreciate you.
Thank you
so much.
All right.
Appreciate it. Kristen Chevrolet, thank you very much. We'll be right back.
They're open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. Big shout out to Kristen for coming on. Thank you so much. She's always up on all of this 24/7. I love her just quest to find out the truth. I mean, she was a warrior mom and just decided to go out and really get behind this and try and figure out what was going on. And so San Pete told all the unvaccinated kids to stay home during this outbreak. And I thought this was kind of interesting because and she said this and I was kind of cracking up over this because I thought, this would send a shockwave, but I think that the shock would be, we could send to the Department of Health if we all agreed to keep all of our children out of school during an outbreak. What would happen then? We know that some of the recently vaccinated will be asymptomatic carriers and spread the illness that they were vaccinated for. So this is a great time to collect work from school and keep both vaccinated and unvaccinated kids at home. Right on. In fact, that would send a shockwave. But I always find it kind of interesting that everybody freaks out if they go through any of this. And I'm going to guess that most of you listening have gone through the measles or the mumps or what have you at a young age. And You have got to be thinking people are freaking out for nothing. You've just got to be thinking it. I'm thinking it. And she was right on the money about going through those certain diseases to build your immunity for your adulthood. And like we said, wasn't this yesterday? We were just talking about the fact that it's in the news daily now.
Yep. Every day there's a story about it.
And it's a real inflammatory story, which makes it even more bizarre. It's more inflammatory. It's more extreme. The way they're talking about it exaggerates it. And did you ever see an article that came back after Disneyland that said, well, half of our cases were just, you know, that mm-hmm. strange. You know? No, they don't do that at all. In fact, like I said, Jewish News was the only one that put out the Ann Arbor story about it being a reaction to measles
right.
after getting the measles shot, not the measles itself. But man, they had everybody in a tailspin. One case. Now, this was the other thing that we didn't bring up with her. We should have. Two cases and they can call it an outbreak.
Yeah.
Is that an outbreak?
Apparently.
it just seems, when they're saying an outbreak in the state of Utah and then it comes back and I've heard them do it over one case. So that's why I'm a little, I'm questioning the method behind this.
I don't know, it's a little
surprising.
It is surprising, but on the other hand, we've all heard stories about how efficient government agencies are.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason to understand that the health department wouldn't be just as efficient as any other government agency.
You're exactly right, just as efficient. Nice. Like we said, you're going to be seeing it all year long, and I don't know how to, we've gone through so many years of this is how it has to be. This is the only reason we're safe. And I've done many shows on polio. I've done many shows on, all kinds of things. You know, the invention of antibiotics, did it have something to do with the surge in polio? Because you can't just get a surge. There's always a reason. And if you notice, they don't ever talk about why polio surged. They only talk about it surging. Mm. Anyone notice that? And so as we talk about this on the show, I know some of you probably are, everybody has to be vaccinated. Well, I would just say expand the mind a little bit to understand why we're being hit so hard right now and what could be behind this, and also why we're driving our families towards mandatory vaccinations, which I do not agree with. I mean, that's subjecting you to whatever they want to shoot up into you. That's
sure.
I mean, my gosh, you don't think that could go nefarious if it hasn't already? I mean, come on. So, I know we'll talk about this all year only because we're getting hit by it. This is crazy. These articles are way over the top. The other thing I wanted to talk about too, was this Iron County thing. I received some feedback on that. And so I thank you for all your feedback. You were glad that we talked about it yesterday, the Redman, name and how long it had been in play. And I thought this was very interesting. Very, very interesting. Thank you, Kelly. Is that there were no, complaints of bullying in the last 3 years. There were no complaints of bullying in the last 3 years to even indicate there was an issue with the name Redman, Cedar Redman,
not
up in Cedar
one.
City. Mm-mm. Not one. So that's very interesting to me because that was the whole catalyst that they said happened because the name had to be changed. Remember, I listened to the tape, and the tape, when they're talking about this across, you know, around the table, was that that. Really, it was a lot of talk about the money involved. There was some money involved that they were already getting. And so the committee that I was referencing yesterday was handpicked. It was handpicked and had 24 members, of which 6 were students and handpicked to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yep.
And of the remaining 18, 12 were employees of Nielsen and Delaney, who write their evaluations and determine their salary. You think they're going to cross them? Of course not. No way. No. So the school board president's wife was even on the committee. So that's kind of interesting. Yeah. So when you have a committee that you get to handpick that can be swayed in the direction you want to sway them and in total agreement, that works. Wow.
You know what that's called?
What?
Totalitarianism.
Bingo. You're the winner. Chicken dinner. All right. So they've now chosen the name Reds. And they also said that they were using a Redman, which the dictionary says is offensive and derogatory, and says it's a racist slur. So the dictionary also defines Reds as a racist slur and offensive and derogatory. So this has to be about the money.
Yeah.
And the problem is that the public, like I said yesterday, the public was not really involved because they had already made the decision. They were already planning it out exactly how they were going to run it through the manipulation tactics to make sure it went through and to make sure that everybody was on board. And, oh, of course, they would open it up for public comment because, you know, public comment is so important. But it really didn't matter because they'd already made the decisions. So they sat around the table already deciding exactly what would be the best catalyst for the timing. And when I say manipulated, I'm not joking. I'm not exaggerating that. I mean, it was, geez, you know, what could be the best timing for everybody? It was clearly shocking, to tell you the truth. So if we don't stop this kind of stuff now, what else are they doing this with? That was my point yesterday, with city councils all the way to school board councils. I mean, what else are they doing behind the scenes when they're making decisions? And this was a big tell of that. And there are a lot of people very, very upset about this. And it's, I mean, that anger isn't going away. So I'm
well, let's hope it doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, let's hope they pursue this right to the finish line and not let these people get away with this crap.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, I think it's kind of interesting that you can claim that it came from bullying as far as the name change, and it just conveniently would have happened in the last 3 years leading up to this big change. Where was it 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago? I mean, my gosh, if we're such a racist, you know, society, it would have come up. I mean, if this was a big deal, yeah. And so just bringing a little bit of attention to that, kind of the details of that that weren't covered yesterday. But that should be pretty disconcerting to people, I would think, up in Cedar. So, and how much of this is going on? Somebody else just changed their name, too, from Redmond to something else. Mm.
You know, I know some Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And their attitude generally, the ones I know, mm-hmm. is that their issues as Native Americans come from government, not from other people.
Yeah, yeah. And where it's a mascot, it's actually paying tribute.
Yeah.
So we have really turned it around in this nation to mean something that is very derogatory. And the very few people that even think that this is or taking it as a racial slur or anything else, it's that, you know, is that on them? That's my question, because if it's so few people that are bothered by something like that, I mean, so few people, and with an agenda behind it concerning funds, that's why I say there's so much more to it, and you got to look under the covers on this one. And also, you know, if our nation was raging over this and this was the biggest deal and you could see it and you could see the fallout and oh my gosh, then I would consider, you know, making a change for somebody, for a group that I mean, that if it was huge, but a couple of people isn't huge. So,
yeah, anyway. There's a movement to get rid of the mascot for Notre Dame.
Yeah.
The leprechauns.
Yeah.
Because it's offensive to the leprechauns.
Wow.
Yeah.
Today in the national show, we'll be talking a little bit about the fallout from Notre Dame. I said Notre Dame. I grew up saying Notre Dame. Did a lot of people in America grow up saying Notre Dame?
You know, it can be either, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if you're on
lots of people say
French
it
soil, I know it's Notre Dame. I know that Dr. Pesta called it Notre Dame.
I switch back and forth so I don't offend anyone.
You're just so flexible. Wow. So, yes, apologize. I mean, I'm sure some people got a snicker out of that because I really, when I see that, I see Notre Dame. Yeah. You know, anyway. Yeah, I guess if you're French, you would definitely say, or if you were over there, you would definitely say Notre Dame. We'll talk about the fallout of that today. There was a lot of churches. There's a lot of churches that have been hit, and especially even just since 2017. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we take that into consideration, too. Colorado City, maybe some voter fraud. That was kind of interesting.
Well, yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know how much truth there is to it, but they've actually agreed now to hire an investigator to look into it, because the polygamist sect out mm-hmm. there was able to keep control of the city council.
Ah.
And what they're basically saying is the only way they could have done that was by
voter fraud.
Or possibly getting other polygamists to vote for them. Yeah. Anyway, because isn't that community like a vast majority of polygamists live there in Colorado City?
Well, yeah.
So that doesn't seem unreasonable to me that they would elect polygamists to their city council.
That's very true. That's very true. We have so much other voter fraud going on. I wonder if we'll get to that.
That's it. They're trying to make voter fraud look ridiculous.
Yeah.
We don't want voter fraud mm-hmm. to look like it could really be a problem.
Sure. Yeah. A lot of stuff going on. Sanders had his town hall. We'll talk about that. Medicare for all. Also, we'll talk a little bit about Assange fallout. That's kind of interesting. What's going on with Detroit's kind of interesting right now, too. Roy Moore is back on top, by the way, as a Republican candidate. Remember all the big issues with that, with the woman coming forward, you know, the one that was extremely liberal that did not want to see Roy Moore get it. And he's going to go up against Doug again. So this will be very interesting in Alabama to watch, because I do think people are on to the fact that what women lie. Oh, my God. Gosh, I'm in shock. Women? Yeah, right after she made all those accusations of something that he did, all of a sudden she just went away after he didn't win. So we always find that kind of interesting. All of a sudden they're not in, you know, conflicted anymore, and they just sort of scamper away. So we knew from the beginning that case was ridiculous, called it out on the show, and I think a lot of people, because he's number one, favored to take that Republican spot in Alabama. Very interesting, I think. Now that people have had some time to sort of look at it, look what happened with Kavanaugh, and go, you know what? Let's refigure this. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Leaving me behind. Baby, bring it to me. Bring your sweet loving. Bring it on home to me. Yeah. I know I laugh.
Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. That was actually from American Idol. It's a Sam Cooke song, Bring It Home to Me. But that was Blaine Hardy. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. Glad that you're tuning in today, as always. And you can email me, Kate, at katedalyradio.com. Also on Facebook, it's The Kate Daly Show. And, of course, on Twitter, it's Kate on the Blaze. I have Uncle Milty with me. And Uncle Milty, you're also on Twitter, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't do much.
Kinda?
I don't do much on Twitter. You know why? I'm just so long-winded.
you only have
Twitter
so many characters.
Limits you so much, I can't ever say anything.
That does not shock me. Okay. Well, thanks for coming on back. We were just talking about Notre Dame, and it kind of, you made a point when we were before the show that, we'll go ahead and make the point again about the investigation. It's kind of interesting.
Well, yeah, I was watching the news, of course, and so the reporter is reporting on what's happening, and the fire's out, and certain relics survived, and isn't that wonderful? And the next step will be to get investigators inside to see what the actual cause of the fire was.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, although we believe it was an accidental fire.
Well,
if the investigators haven't even been inside, why would they believe it's accidental?
Exactly.
Why not just say we don't know?
Yes, exactly. You're exactly right.
Because they have a narrative that they're pushing. You know, it was less than a month ago when another large Catholic church in Paris burned.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't make talk the about that very much.
Did not make the headlines. Kind of interesting. So there was a tweet that talked about this, and it said France has completely submitted. And jihadists were cheering the renaming of Victory Square in front of Notre Dame Cathedral to NABCA, which means catastrophe. And so that's kind of an interesting one. So it was talking about Pope Urban launching the first crusade against jihadi invaders from Victory Square, the same square in the year 1095. Very interesting. So there's a lot of chatter and talk that this was arson, because it was done after everybody went home. And I shouldn't say it was done, because I don't know. But it happened after everybody went home and then up in the attic.
It started in an attic, which always allows a fire to spread fast before anybody notices the fire is going.
True.
Always.
True. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of indications that it may have been intentionally started. But there's so much going on in the world, and it seems like at the center of it, even in the United States today, is Muslims all the time. And yet we're constantly told it's, you know, Muslims are good people, Muslims this, Muslims that. Well, why are they always at the center of this stuff?
I don't know. And one thing I do know, though, for sure, is that different groups are raised a little differently within that sect.
Yes.
So it really, there's no broad brushstroke for that at all. And I do believe that with all my heart, that there are some very, very, very good Muslims. And I think that there are certain areas in which people are raised to believe a little differently. And so it's coming from certain sects of that religion, or that political persuasion, whatever you want to call it now, instead of all of it.
And I believe that's true.
I do.
But how do you tell the difference?
Well, it could be, look at some of the people that were out there and they were cheering this. So, you know, obviously I think it's easy to see by the things that they're doing and what they're cheering for and what they're not. And you won't find Muslims everywhere cheering for that. So that tells me very logically that there are different groups of people and that believe some different things. And I think that's good. I think that's good to be able to say that with a lot of confidence. But there are some groups there. I mean, this was so funny. I mean, I just barely saw a meme. That's why. And it said, Islam, the religion of peace. Why is there never peace within the group? Good point. But yes, I think you're going to see some sects in the Middle East that are different. That some come out very, very different.
Well, but the narrative is always, since so many of them are good people, let's just ignore the bad people. And they've moved. Look at London. The number one name given the baby boys in London is Muhammad.
Yeah, very interesting.
For all intents and purposes, Great Britain is now a part of the Nation of Islam.
Right, right. Oh, I know. But I don't think it's ignore. I think what it is, I think there are people out there that want to paint the whole group like they would the jihadists, like the extreme version of it. I think there are people that want to paint the whole group as just peaceful, loving people that don't think a thing about other people. That's not true either. I do think that it's not talked about a lot that there are different groups raised up differently.
And I agree. But I think the reason for that is that we don't understand how to tell them apart until they do something. That's the only way we know how to tell them apart. Well, they started a fire, they must be the bad guys.
If that's
the only way you have, how are you ever going to be comfortable around Muslims if you don't know how to tell the good guys from the bad guys?
I don't know the answer to that. I do know that, you know, a lot of the violence coming in from immigrants into Germany and all these different countries, of course, they know where that's coming from, and it happens to be that group coming in. This is a tough one. This is such a tough one. And I feel bad for that, because people don't talk about this a lot. I think there's some division.
But we are starting to have this problem in the United States now. Mm-hmm. Look at Minnesota, the Somali. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry. They're having huge problems up there because I have a relative that lives up there.
Right.
It's huge problems. And we're starting to get them elected to government.
The Border Patrol just said many, many, many are coming through from the very areas that I'm talking about, where people are, it could be a little bit more violent towards Christians or violent towards, you know, people. So, yeah, I mean, it is. It's a tough one. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yes, to answer your question, if you do the research, you often find these jihadists, the militants, the violent ones, are tied to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yes.
The Muslim Brotherhood is the creation of the deep state, as you call it, the shadow government. The MI6 in Britain funded it for years before the CIA took over. And so if you track back, so many of the leaders were former communists, and they transferred over. Ben McClintock talked about that on your show a few years ago. Art Thompson wrote a book on that about many of the same militants of the 50s and 60s converted, supposedly converted to Islam, and are a lot of their leaders. So that's part of the answer, I think, to your question. Can I say something about your conversation with Christian? There's some stats that are really valuable here.
Okay.
This is really important. So when we create a drug or we create a treatment, medical treatment, the benefit of the treatment has to be greater than the harm that the treatment will produce.
Right.
We know that over and over. The side effects have to be less than the benefit. So here's a stat by Dr. McCullough. Had a pediatrician on the show, and this pediatrician has researched this, and of course you've had his wife on your show several times talking about the same subject. Here's the stat. The CDC, and it's probably underestimated, but let's assume their stats are correct. Last 15 years, 100 kids have died directly as a result of their MMR vaccinations. 100, according to the CDC. So, therefore, we must, willing to sacrifice 100 children, there must be a much greater benefit in terms of saving the lives of more than 100 children. Maybe 1,000 children have been saved because of the MMR virus. Well, let's look at the stats. According to this pediatrician, the stats are, in the last 15 years, zero children have died from measles.
Right. Directly caused from measles. Yeah. It was usually, it was
zero
complications.
In this nation. So obviously there's a hidden agenda here. It's not about caring for children, caring for Americans. It's obviously a hidden agenda, this effort, this conspiracy to force us to take these vaccinations.
And I'm
leaving out the 100,000 or so that got autism from the vaccine.
Yes. And they actually, the government did lose the case on that. I don't think people really realize that happened. That case happened.
I'm estimating it's probably over 100,000 a year are getting autism in this nation alone and all over the world from these vaccines. But the CDC admits to 100 are dying, and nobody has died from measles in the last 10 years. No children.
Right. Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm sorry. It's 15 years, not 10 years.
Okay, 15. All right. Hey, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, the real stats on it, it's astounding when people really do the numbers. That's why I don't have a lot of patience with that issue. I'm trying, but I think the indoctrination has been so huge that sometimes we have to check our own cognitive dissonance at the door and say there's a reason they're pushing it very, very hard this year. What's coming? There's 150 in the works right now by Bill Gates and the CDC as they partner together. So you have to understand, I think most people have to understand what, or at least look ahead and go, what would they be putting in these and what are we going to be injecting? So, especially with mandatory. There's a reason that they spent all the money and are doing 150 vaccinations right now. There's a reason for it. So they don't just willy-nilly. Isn't it interesting that that here the indoctrination for so long has been something popped up and we have to save America from it. Why are they creating 150 now of them if we don't have any large epidemics? Can anyone answer that? Isn't it usually something comes up and then they scramble to find something? Hasn't that always been the story? So why in the world are they doing this into the future? 150 vaccines is a lot of vaccines, folks. So anyway, Well, go ahead.
Well, speaking of diseases.
Yes.
There's a real interesting story. They found supposedly, because of climate change, that there's some deadly diseases like anthrax that are going to be released from the ice as it melts.
They're blaming it on the ice?
Yeah, yeah. It's
you mean they're
going
to release anthrax and they're going to blame it on the ice?
Up in Russia, yeah. There was an event that occurred and it's in the ice, and as climate change melts the ice, it's going to kill us.
Yeah, yeah.
So they push every aspect. You know?
They sure do. Thomas Massie, by the way, was just ridiculing Kerry over his science on climate change. It was good. But this whole thing, very, oh gosh, will we ever get to a place where we're not talking about global human-caused climate change? I don't think so. Because the next president will pick this matter up and you'll see things happen. You'll see things happen and be blamed on it, just like what you said.
Yeah.
That does not shock me at all. In fact, what did that admiral say in his report to Obama? That they were going to blame food shortages on global climate, human-caused global climate change. I think it's a great scapegoat. I mean, why not? You can use it, and no one knows the science because it's not out there.
There is no science.
There is no science that can be actually proven. So, my gosh, you could use that for about anything.
Yep.
Couldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, the field is open. Jeez Louise. Yeah, I agree. It's a strange thing. Congestion tax. Can you imagine if we had a congestion tax here? Yeah, I was asked to MC once the EPA types that come in, and they were all worried that we're going to have Salt Lake down here. They were all worried about our air quality. They really are taxing the air we breathe. It is. It's amazing. And I made the unfortunate comment because I got a lot of looks that regulation strangulation. They didn't like that. They really wanted to start implementing a lot of things to make sure that we don't get that kind of thing down here, even though that would be so far away. Oh, my gosh. But you're going to see more of this because other cities are looking at New York and they're going, congestion tax? Well, that's interesting.
$10 fee to drive in Manhattan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just
what about
congested.
All the tourists? The cars, yeah.
The tourists take the taxi.
Yeah, of course. That are already getting the $10 tax.
Right.
So they're all covered. Well, that's convenient. What do you do when you have to have another tax, but you can't think of a good one? Well,
congestion.
There you go. Congestion.
Yeah, that'll do
congestion
it.
Congestion tax. It's just a little busy.
It is. You know, Judy's brother lived
smog
in Chicago, and he owned a car, and it never left the garage because it was so expensive to drive in Chicago. Oh, because of that.
Yeah, yeah. And then congestion leads to smog.
Yep.
That's why I said air we breathe, because they're getting there. I mean, for walking outside and breathing, there will be a tax, I promise. They're running out of ways. We are running out of ways. So be right back on The Kate Daly Show.